Living with the Himalayan Masters. Chapter 1. Spiritual Education in the Himalayas. Childhood is the foundation stone upon which stands the whole life structure. The seed sown in childhood blossoms into the tree of life. The education which is imparted in childhood is more important than the education which is received in colleges and universities. In the process of human growth, proper guidance along with environmental learning is important. The Sacred Himalayas. The Himalayan ranges extend over almost 1,500 miles in length. Mount Everest, towering upward over 29,000 feet on the border of Nepal and Tibet, is the highest of all the mountains in the world. Persians, Indians, Tibetans, and Chinese have all written about the grandeur and beauty of these mountains. The word Himalaya comes from Sanskrit words, Hima meaning snow, and Alaya meaning home, the home of snows. I would like to make you aware that the Himalayas are not merely the home of snow, but that they have also been a stronghold of yogic wisdom and spirituality for millions of people, regardless of their religious beliefs. This ancient and rich tradition still exists there today, as these unique mountains continue to whisper their spiritual glory to all who have an ear to hear. I was born and brought up in the valleys of the Himalayas. I roamed among them for more than 4.5 decades and was educated by their sages. I met the masters who live and travel there, studied at their feet and experienced their spiritual wisdom. From the Punjab Himalayas to the Kumaun and Garhwal Himalayas, from Nepal to Assam, and from Sikkim to Bhutan and Tibet, I traveled to those forbidden places which are virtually inaccessible to tourists. I climbed to a height of 19 to 20,000 feet without the help of an oxygen kit or modern equipment. Many times I did not have food and became unconscious, tired, and sometimes wounded, but always, one way or another, I found help during such occasions. For me, the Himalayas are my spiritual parents, and living there was like living in the lap of a mother. She brought me up in her natural environment and inspired me to live a particular style of life. Once, when I was 14 years old, an unknown sage blessed me and gave me a leaf of Bhojapatra, the paper made of bark on which the ancient scriptures were written. On it he inscribed, "Let the world be little with you. Let you be on the path of spirituality. It is still in my possession." The love I received from the sages is like the perennial snows which form the silvery glaciers of the Himalayas and then melt into thousands of streams. When love became the lord of my life, I became quite fearless and traveled from one cave to another, crossing streams and mountain passes surrounded by snow-blanketed peaks. In all conditions, I was cheerful, searching for the hidden sages who preferred to remain unknown. Every breath of my life was enriched with spiritual experiences, which may be difficult for many others to comprehend. That gentle and amiable sage of the Himalayas had only one entrancing theme, love for nature, love for creatures, and love for the whole. The Himalayan sages taught me first the gospel of nature. Then I started listening to the music coming from the blooming flowers, from the songs of the birds, and even from the smallest blade of grass and thorn of the bush. In everything lives the evidence of the beautiful. If one does not learn to listen to the music of nature and appreciate her beauty, then that which impels man to seek love at its fountain may be lost in the remotest antiquity. Do you need psychological analysis to discover in nature the source of so much happiness, of so many songs, dreams, and beauties? This gospel of nature speaks its parables from the glacial streams, the valleys laden with lilies, the forests covered with flowers and the light of stars. This gospel reveals that emphatic knowledge through which one learns truth and beholds the good in all its majesty and glory. When one learns to hear the music of nature and appreciate her beauty, then his soul moves in harmony with its entire environment. His every movement and every sound will surely then find its due place in human society.